Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Man, it's great to be here. The couple things I want to say before I do begin is this past week has been overwhelming for Sandy, for me. We turned 25 as a church Sunday. Yesterday I turned 60, and here's the perspective, especially if you live with Sandy Shear. The perspective is that these are milestones, and we're going to celebrate milestones. And man, we celebrated. I just want to tell you from my vantage point, I'm overwhelmed. I've never been so appreciated, validated, humbled, honored as I am. This past week has just brought such a godly and a holy, fresh perspective to my life. And I just want to publicly thank Sandy for spearheading this and the whole deal. I mean, it's just been so honoring for me, and just an incredible time. And for you guys as a church staff and leaders, I just want to thank you. I really do. This, you know, it's interesting because my message tonight is going to kind of swerve into that for you in your life. What I'm going to do is I want to pass the responsibility of this validation and this the appreciation that I've received. I want to pass that to you a little bit tonight. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online. I want to I just want to thank you guys for everything. That just being here is a ton of it. But I know that coming to church at Guts, especially if you're going to repeat it and continue to visit or to even sow your life into it, you've got to be active in it. I mean, that's just the culture of the church. The culture of this church demands activity. And for that, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Sandy, thank you very much. If you want to know how to celebrate somebody, take the playbook from the last week from Sandy and just do, I don't know how many steps there are. There's probably 1,000 in there, but just do those steps. But I know she had a team of people. I can't begin to thank everybody on that team, but I do want to thank you guys just publicly for being a part of Guts Church, because it is my life. It's my life's work, but not so much that. It's become a lot of who I am, just wanting to honor God and just to help people win. Our friends who came into town, there's church pastors who came in from the West Coast, that just churches that I preach at. You know, so, and you guys have to know too, I preach at churches that I have a relationship with. I'm not so much cold calling in congregations, getting up and saying, well, I'm Bill Shear from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Most of these churches are familiar with us, know us, and want to be a part of what God's doing here. But these guys came into town and just spent the weekend, gave their pulpits up. And that's a big deal for a preacher. Nick and Chris Kane, who came in and are extremely busy. They just received an award in I want to say India. Gandhi's received that reward. And Mother Teresa has received that reward. And the finalists were Bono from U2 and Christine Kane from A21. And she got the award. And she's going this week to go, but stayed here an extra day just to be a part of this service. You know, they told us, well, we're gonna be able to after we speak, then we need to go because we've got to get on the road. And they didn't. And we ended up I was here at church till 3:30 in the afternoon. We were backstage praying for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and just an incredible time. And it, to me, it just kind of sealed the whole deal that has happened. And I've always said to people, kind of casually, I've said it a few times, where people would say, "Man, when did God call you to start this church? When did God call you to do this church? And I've said before, just in my heart, it's like, well, I hope he has called me to do it, because otherwise it's been a lot of work for something God hadn't even called us to. But I know, I'm just telling you guys, I know this is what God's called us to. And when I say us, I'm including you because you're here tonight. Sandy would say the same thing. My children would say the same thing. Kennedy applied for the internship today and called me and said, Dad, I just finished my interview. And I said, well, how'd it go? And she said, it's one of the most intense things I've ever been a part of, and I can't wait for this year. And there were times I get emotional and I wanted to cry, but I was with people I knew, so I couldn't. And just that alone, you know, I've got a daughter that's graduating from college just in the next week or two that is excited about her next step, which is the internship. And I just want to throw it out there for you guys that are watching online, for you guys that are here. There's 5 spaces open for the internship beginning in January, and I believe it's going to be a benchmark class, a benchmark opportunity. And it's like every other opportunity that we have with God, which is going to dovetail now into my message that's entitled As Soon As. And it's interesting because I think a lot of times with what God's called us to do or what God wants us to do, our response is, yes, God, as soon as. Remember Jesus talking about the guy who just bought a yoke of oxen, and he said, man, as soon as. A guy that said he'd bought 40 acres, he said, well, as soon as. A guy that said, well, I've taken a wife and I just can't go, so he couldn't say as soon as. He just said, I can't. You know, I got the old ball and chain back at the house, and you know, some people have that, Sandy. That's nothing that I can even relate to. But as soon as has to, I mean, honestly, when those words try to come out of your mouth, it'd be better, and I know a lot of you guys are too sophisticated to do this, you need to spit instead of saying that. You got to get that taste out of your mouth where it's not as soon as. You know, as soon as I get, I've talked to people, say, man, I'm going to come to church as soon as I get my life right. It's like, you got this backwards, okay? You can't get your life right without a right relationship with God. That's the only way that it works. Well, I'm gonna step into ministry as soon as I take care of this debt, or as soon as I do that. And the bottom line is this: is that we have got to do everything we can not to put ourselves in the position of that as soon as attitude, because the bottom line with this is it will cause us to cop out. It'll cause us to miss the mark. It'll cause us to come up short. It'll cause us to shrink back. And the Bible's clear. We are not those who shrink back. We step up for whatever fight of faith that crosses our face. We are not the as soon as people. You know, as soon as I start feeling better, as soon as I lose a few pounds, as soon as I get a better job, as soon as I finish this assignment. We've got to be people that are obedient. And let me tell you what God's looking for. And write this down. God's looking for instant obedience. That's why we've got to be in season and out of season people. God's requiring of us instant obedience. Listen to me, instant obedience. Man, we're not all, and some of you guys are very thoughtful people, and I appreciate thoughtful people. But let me tell you something. You can't let that contemplative mindset that you have, listen, become a curse in your life. Man, you can't, see, there's too many people that just overthink things. Man, I remember when Sandy and I walked out of the closing table, we closed, it was actually 2 properties that we bought from 2 different sellers that we closed in the same closing meeting that we had. The same one. And I've talked to commercial realtors that have said, real estate people have said, man, that's incredible. You did it at the same time. You know, the guy that we bought that side of the street from didn't say a word to us. He hates to sell. They don't sell property. but sold this property to us. He was like, he was disgusted with me from the time I walked in there, time I left. And you know, it's not a quick thing. You sign 50 different documents, you're reading through things, and I meticulously read through them. And we left there, and man, our attorneys are there, and people are there, and they're like, oh my gosh, and they're hugging me, and they're slapping me on the back, and they're all smiles, and they're saying, okay, we're gonna go back to the office, we'll see you. And I remember going back to my car and thinking, why am I not smiling? I left there thinking, what the heck have I just done? I just signed my future into this property. And you guys, most of you guys you don't have any idea what this property was like. Man, this was this property was the epitome of old warehouses. See, and we put things places that we had to build things out and try to match so that we could leave this building free, the youth building free. And you'll say, well, what'd you do? Well, we rented them out. Mathis Brothers, before they built their, when they were still at 73rd and Memorial, before they built their big showroom and warehouse on the 169, this was full of mattresses and Barco loungers and love seats. And I mean, just packed. So there were four, like there's people say, well, what are these marks on the floor? It's forklift wheel marks. I mean, it's the forklifts left marks on the, there's all kinds of, but this building here was full of that. The building across the street was name brand clothing. That's where they sorted clothes. The great thing about it is they didn't use any of the parking on Wednesday nights or the evenings or on the weekends. So we could use all the parkings in the evenings and the weekends, and we did everything around the tenants. And the tenants paid 85% of the mortgage. But still, we went from $500 a month to $1,500 a month to $22,000 a month. When Chano says that it was like an anvil on my chest, that's exactly what it was. What the heck are we going to do? Because there were people. There were major contributors in the church, members in the church that I thought were thick as could be that didn't make the move, and it's literally less than 3/4 mile down the street, and you don't have to make a turn. But didn't make the move. And I'm like, what the heck are we going to do? But you know what? Sandy and I never had an attitude that began with as soon as. And I think this is pivotal. I looked at commercial properties for 2.5 years. Taylor joked about it in a video Sunday where he said, we'd drive by buildings and I'd point at my young son and I'd say, hey, how about that? Do you think that building, I think that could be a great church. Man, I had people that, realtors that would call me and they'd say, hey, this property, I remember the property that the Walmart's on right now next to the mall there. I forget the department store that was in there. I'm not even sure they still have those. It's a chain department store. I remember looking at it. It was two-story, and I thought, this could be an incredible building. This could, and I researched it. I found out how many bathrooms, how many tons of HVAC was in it, how many parking spaces went with it, the square footage, the whole thing. And, you know, I'd have realtors that call me and say, hey, are you familiar with this building? And I'd say, yeah, I am. And they'd say, man, how many toilets have in that building? I'd say, 24. How many tons of HVAC do they have? I'd say, man, they got 35 tons. And it's like, how do I know this stuff? It's because, but let me tell you, this property, listen to me. And this property was the first property we looked at, and 2.5 years later was the last property that we looked at. And you know what we had to do? We had to gut the whole thing. We had to renovate the whole thing. Man, our staff went from being ministers to painters, to a demo crew. And you know what? Just and really every day and every night, man, it's a race to get this done. Why? I don't know why. I don't know, but it just was churning in my heart. See, and I'm not, I know I don't have that as soon as part of my personality, but I know many people do. And I think a key to any success that we've had in life and in ministry is we haven't put things off. We haven't thought, you know, man, and the things we do put off are things that just discretionary fund spending that, wait, the three things, and you could write this down. Here's how you gauge your life. Things that you could do, things that you should do, and things that you must do. Well, there's things that, man, we finally knew that, man, this property, we had to do it. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now? And you know what? At first I thought, well, we might not have to do it because who would loan us money? And then people did. And it was just remarkable. But we look at our lives, and I think this message is about making excuses. And I'm telling you, if you're making excuses on why you haven't been an intern here at the church, man, please stop and just get an application and fill it out. I think that it's important for you just to do that, whether you're an intern or not. Man, if there's ministry in your heart, you want to be trained for ministry, man, I'll just tell you, I don't know a better place to get the training because it's practical application, it's hands-on, there's practicum work, but there's also book work in it where you've got to study the Word, you've got to learn the Word, and you know what? You've got to trust God. If finances are keeping you from being an intern, don't take an as soon as attitude. Man, just take that step of faith. Listen to what the Word says. In John 4:35, Jesus said, don't you say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Isn't that how you say it? That's practical. That's probably realistic. But Jesus said this, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white unto harvest. That already white means that they're overripe. See, what we don't realize, because the fog of deception the enemy tries to put in our lives. And I'll just tell you, Sunday I want to talk about the attacks that come on our lives, especially this time of year. Okay? So man, if you want to know how to get out from under and win in the attacks that the enemy has in our lives, this Sunday I'm going to talk about that. But in thinking about that, man, we look at it, we keep pushing things off because, man, Jesus said, man, you've heard it said, but I say to you, man, the harvest is coming in 4 months. No, he said, look, lift up your head and open your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white unto harvest. They're already white, meaning they're overripe. Your future is overripe right now. Write that down. My future is overripe. It's all about the harvest. And let me tell you where the harvest is. The harvest is in the follow-up and the follow-through. And you mark my words, most of the harvest that you haven't had in your life is because you didn't follow up or you didn't follow through. It's time for us to be follow-through people. It's time, most of the things that honestly are noteworthy, things that past mayors speak about and pastors speak about and church leaders speak about here are the things that Sandy and I did when we made the decision to do it. Man, the first thought we had was, how the heck is this going to happen? But see, it's never been about the how for us. The only question is why. And let me tell you, it all boils down that God's called us to be the best in the world at helping people live in God's promises. That's what he's called us to do. We've got to be the best in the world at it. We've got to be outstanding. We've got to be excellent. We can't be average. We can't just play for par. Man, that's what Bobby Jones, the best golfer who'd ever lived, you know what he said? I'm not competing against people. I'm not competing against the elements. I'm competing against par. Old man par is going to lose today. Well, we can't have a par-driven life. We can't be status quo. We can't be run-of-the-mill. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Everybody say, get wisdom. Yes. Therefore, get wisdom. And all of your getting, listen, get understanding as well. You know, and I repeat a quote that Mark Twain had, and he had many quotes, but there's one that stuck and resonated in my heart. He said, a man who grabs the cat by a tail knows 40% or more about cats. Well, that's what this life of faith is. We're not trusting what we know. We're not trusting what we see. We're not trusting how we feel. We're trusting what God's promised. And see, all of us are going to get hit. And you know what? The enemy's hit is not going to be cancer. It's not going to be indebtedness. It's not going to be lack. You know what it's going to be? Fear. You know what it's going to be? Deception of that cancer. So you know what? Man, you'll get diagnosed with cancer, and now it's subject to what science is going to say. Is it treatable? Here, what's our best treatment? And this is the best percentages and the best odds and the best. Let me tell you, in this life of faith in the kingdom, there are no odds. It's yes and amen. That's what his promises are. His promises are yes and amen. God is faithful. And what we've got to understand now is we've got to decide what's going to take us out and what isn't. That's the bottom line. Because the Bible says that no weapon formed against us can ever prosper. Man, no weapon formed against us could ever prosper. See, we melt when that weapon is just pointed at us. So you know what? The enemy rarely has to even pull the trigger. But even if he does, it doesn't take over in our life. It doesn't take control in our life. And you'll say, oh my gosh, that sounds crazy. It is, because it's a life of faith. It's crazy. Man, the local church, the mission of the local church is psycho. It really is. I mean, Matt, if you could get up here and look at the range of people that are just in this room today, it's A to Z. Man, there's some of you guys that are believing God that somebody's not repoing your truck right now. And there's others of you guys that, man, you're thinking, man, I don't have a care in the world except, you know what? Man, I'm lost in my heart. See, there's men, there's women, there's rich, there's poor, there's every different color imaginable in here. My goodness, on most services, our worship team looks like the United Nations. But you know what? The bottom line with this is that we celebrate diversity. You know why? God's word works with everybody. There's a well-known preacher that's a previous generation that went to the Dominican Republic. And you know what? The people were so poor there that he said, I was in the room, he said I couldn't preach prosperity in the Dominican because people were so poor, I couldn't do that to them. And let me tell you, my heart broke, didn't it, Sandy? It's like, are you kidding me? Man, the only place you ought to preach prosperity is to the poor. Every Friday, I get up at Friday Groceries, and I've got the privilege to speak on those Fridays. I'll get up, and what do I talk about? Chato, what do I talk about? You don't have to be poor. The Bible says the way a man thinks, so he is. Let me tell you, the way you think is going to pattern, man, where your life goes. If you could believe, nothing's impossible to he who believes. Man, if I were you, I'd say, I'm not poor anymore because Jesus is Lord of my life. See, but wisdom is a principal thing. And you might look at it and you might say, well, that's not wisdom. No, it's not man's wisdom. There's different wisdom. There's man's wisdom and there's God's wisdom. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsel, and it's godly counsel. It's not just you talking to that clerk at the Quick Trip. Man, it's not even the experts in the world. Let me tell you something. I've seen too many experts that didn't agree with God's promise that were wrong. See, and you look at it, this gospel is never doom and gloom. It's never checking the odds. It's an absolute sure thing. And yeah, you know what? Might take a little bit of time. Write that down. Because that's where we have our issue. Come on, God, I prayed. What's happened? God, I'm believing. Why don't I see it? No, you know what? If you're believing, you see it. Whether it's there or not. What's faith? The substance of what we hope for. You're hoping for things that you don't see yet. The evidence of things that are unseen. The evidence of things that are unseen. Listen to that. The evidence of things that are unseen. That's not only what faith is, that's what faith does. What does faith do? It gives you the ability to be able to see what's not really there, to see what's foreign to your intellect and your natural eyes. Man, can you see yourself healed? Can you see yourself whole? Can you see your kids serving God? Can you see your house paid for? Let me just tell you, we can stand up here till we're blue in the face, can't we, Sandy, and say, man, we're believing God to pay off your house. If you can't see it, it's not going to happen. But it's eyes of faith here that we have to see with. It's a mouth of faith that we speak with. Why? Because wisdom is a principal thing, but we have to get understanding. And there is an attack to the life of faith. I'm not kidding you. Man, you choose. You're going to hear the message Sunday. You choose to take that life of faith. Let me tell you what's going to happen. An attack's going to happen in your life. Let me tell you what that attack is. It's going to be lies, because he's the father of lies. It's going to be deception. It's going to be confusion. It's going to be accusation. Let me tell you what the devil's going to do. The devil's going to remind you of everything you've done wrong, and it's going to go back from today, yesterday, last week, last month, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when you were a kid. Some of you guys will say, well, I remember when I opened up that girly magazine back when I was 13 years old. I opened a door. Let me tell you what you can do. You can shut that dadgum door. And you know what else you could do? What else you could do is you could clean your house out. And you could sweep it clean. But guess what will happen? The enemy will come back 7 times more. You know why? Because he's got access to your heart because it's empty. That's why you've got to have that sure word of faith. That's why you've got to have God's promises stacked in your heart. Man, that's why raising our kids, let me tell you what they knew from the time they could talk, from the time they could walk, to the time they could reason. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. See, it's not as soon as anymore. No, it's, you know what? Everything I put my hand to prospers. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Man, pull your mortgage out. Some of you guys don't have any idea what you still owe on your house, on your car, on your vehicles. No, you know what I want to do? I want to get a 55-gallon drum, and I want to have a fire in it every time we come here for people to put their car note and their mortgage and their debt, their credit cards. Man, throw it in that fire. And let me tell you something. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit consume it. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that we've got to be diligent in this, and we've got to be instantly obedient in it. Man, you've got discretionary funds. You put it on your mortgage. Man, you tithe, you give, you pay your bills, you put money in savings, and then you take whatever you have and you put that toward that mortgage, toward that debt. And you might say, well, I've got 5 credit cards. You take the easiest one to pay off. You know why? That's a win. Create a win in your life. Quit using that dadgum credit card. If it's a noose around your neck, the Bible says if your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence with God. If you're condemned in your heart for charging things on a credit card, stop. Stop. Man, some of you guys, instead of complaining about your vehicle or believing God for a new vehicle, you should probably vacuum it. Put a new set of wipers on it. See, we've got to understand why. That's wisdom. And what's wisdom? Wisdom's the principal thing. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit, listen, is better than the proud in spirit. You guys all know, if you've been to church here for a little while, the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Man, in Hebrews 6:11 says, and we desire that each one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Same diligence to hope that we're instantly obedient. Not just obedient people, instantly obedient people. Man, some of you guys, let me tell you, God's put it on your heart to be an intern, and you've stiff-armed God. Let me tell you, that's just pride. You might say, I don't need that kind of training. I'm above that kind of training. Really? Are you kidding me? Because let me tell you something, I'm not. Do you know why we have this internship? Because nothing like that was offered to me and Sandy. You know what I want to do? I want to give everybody we can. Man, everybody we can, man, we want to give them a leg up. And see, that's what the internship's going to do. The internship's just going to do this. It's going to hold out a hand and help you up. Man, and the next thing you know, you're getting bumps in life that you never realized. Man, I talked to our interns that are getting done in January. Oh my gosh. If you'd have met little Nikki, stand up, Nikki. If you'd have met Nikki before, the other one, Yelena, said everything. Man, if you'd have met these guys before they were interns, my goodness. But now, my goodness. Wow. See, that's what we have to understand. That's what we've got to look at. Now listen, that you don't become sluggish. Now listen, I know you're sluggish in areas. Stop it. That you don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Man, you know what you've got to do? You've got to find people and you've got to pursue them. You've got to get them in your life. You may have to mow their lawns. Let me tell you, there's people that I knew when I was going to Bible school, when I was a brand new Christian, I looked at them and I thought, that's where I want to be. Remember those days, Sandy? That's where I want to be. Let me tell you, if their kids need to be babysat, I'd babysit them. If their lawn needed to be mowed, I'd mow their lawn. If somebody needed to carry their bags on a ministry trip, I'd carry their bags. Let me tell you, there was ministry people, I carried their bags, and in a meeting in Colorado, I'm sitting two seats down from this 85-year-old man in a wheelchair. He was blind and he was crippled, 85 years old. And that preacher kicked off her shoes. And she walked over and she flowed in the gifts and was amazing miracles in her ministry. She walked over and she walked over to this 85-year-old man sitting two seats down from me in a wheelchair. You know what she said? May I have this dance? And he grinned and he put his hand out. She put her hand in his hand and he got up. And they began to dance. And I turned and looked. As they turned, his eyes were clear. I remember sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? God's using miracle power on an 85-year-old man. There were probably 30 and 40-year-old people in that meeting that needed miracles, but you know what? She asked him, can I have this dance? Man, you look at it, listen, you tell me that wasn't worth carrying their bags on that trip? Oh, what we'd give to see. Just to see that. It's instant obedience. That's what God's looking for. It's not as soon as anymore. In John 4:35, again, I'm going to go back to it. Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, here's what Jesus said. He's throwing down. Highlight this, underline this in your Bible. Behold, I say to you. Behold, I say to you. Behold, here's what's said. Behold, I say to you. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white for harvest. Here's your marching orders today. Lift and look. Lift and look. You lift your eyes, what's God going to do? He's going to lift your head. Jeremy, God's the lifter of our heads. God's going to lift your heads. You have no right as a Christian to be depressed. No right. And you'll say, well, how dare you? Well, I'm Bill Shear. If you don't know me well enough, I dare. You have no right. Why? Because God lifts our head. So are you saying God's unfaithful? No, you're obstinate. Instant obedience. What did Jesus say? Quit waiting around for the harvest because that's what the world says to do. Lift up your head and look at the fields. They're already overripe for harvest. What's the harvest require? Remember, follow up and follow through. Man, follow through on it. How many of you guys have made a commitment to God? Follow through on it. How many of you guys have made a commitment to God? Follow through on it. How many of you guys have made a commitment to God? Let me see your hands. Follow through with it. How many of you guys have made a commitment to church? Let me see your hands. Follow through on it. That's it. You just follow through on your commitment. Guess what? God backs your play. And guess what he provides for you? A dadgum harvest. Because if you're sitting in this church, you guys want some good news? The biggest weekend offering we have ever had was last Sunday. By far. Biggest one. Had one service. It was chaotic. People were walking in and out. People are walking out getting coffee. It was like a movie house. It was like the movie show. It's like all these videos, people talking to videos. My kids making fun of me, laughing at me. Oh, all these decisions are made, dad struck. You're right. You know why? Because I don't have an as soon as attitude. You know what I want? I want that truck back. Because you know what? We'd drive down the road, wouldn't we, Taylor? We could change the world in this truck. A 74 green Ford F-150 pickup. Used tires. No, I bought new used tires. I went down to the tire store. I said, "You got any tires for this?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." And he started showing me new tires. I said, "I want new ones on this. It's an old truck. I need used. You got used tires?" He said, "Yeah." I said, what are they going to cost?" He said, "I don't know. We'll figure it out." So I started putting those tires on. I went up to pay. He said, "No, there's a man that was in here that took care of it." "Dadgummit, why didn't I get new tires?" But let me just tell you, I'm in an old pickup truck. There's not a pastor in the country driving a truck like that. There's not a pastor in the country buying used tires. But you know what? We drive down the road and I think, you know what? We could change the world in this truck. We could change the world from here. Let me tell you, you want to know where we're going? We're going to change the dadgum world. You know why? We can do it from right here. You know why? We're the best in the world at bringing people to the life of faith that produces God's promises. Thanks for coming. God, we bless you. God, we thank you for who you are and what you're about. God, I pray for every person in this place, God, that faith comes in people's lives. God, faith comes right here and right now through the hearing by God's word. God, faith comes into people's lives in areas that they've been faithless, that faith comes. Where doubt and unbelief was in their lives, God, that faith comes. God, I thank you, faith for healing. Faith for deliverance, faith for prosperity, faith for finances, faith for overcoming depression, faith for deliverance from drugs and liquor. God, faith from strife in our homes. God, faith for a lack of vision. God, faith for a lack of future. God, that faith comes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.